should invite our very own Uncle Michael to minister to us.
Hello. Amen. Don't mind the media team. They want to mafia me this morning, but I am not moved. Are you in the house this morning? Can you give the Lord a shout? Can you raise your voice? Give the Lord a shout! It's like some of you are not here yet. Some of you are not here yet. Are you in the building? Lift up your voice and give the Lord a shout. Amen. Amen. Let's be on our feet briefly. Amen. Let's just spend a few minutes, a few seconds just praying. If you can speak in tongues, I just want you to lift up your voice and speak in tongues. We just want to worship God. Just 1 minute, 2 minutes. I want to just lift up your voice. Just speak in tongues, somebody. If you can't speak in tongues, just worship God. Just worship God. Lift up your voice this morning. Lift up your voice. Somebody lift up your voice. Somebody lift up your voice. Lift up your voice. Akode shi kamana se imana sante air. Ashova kamana sando sketer. Anto japando sketer. Areva kandi mana shanda manataya. Apakode gentene namana sando skata. Mantene namana shando skata. Antene debede shede namana santi mana skata. Somebody, just one minute. Apollo japando skata. Ante imana sande meneskata. Manto shede debede vrebele lamana sata. Ante zekindi mana sando skata. Are there people in this place praying? Can you lift up your voice? Can you lift it higher? Can you lift it higher? Lipando skata. Oh, come on, Team Sapola. Can you lift it higher? Asante mina sante apa. Apando skapaya. Somebody lift it higher. Antena meneskata. Let your prayer rise as incense this morning. Lift it higher. Limana shanda namanata. Masopete ipena manata. Rapande namana shanda namanata. Eipapande shada dabadaba. Rasante namene shenda manabana namanata. Rapando shada dabadapando skata. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Still all eyes closed. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Father, as we come before you today, bless us with your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You may take your seats. It's such an honor to be here today. And every time someone is coming to preach or something, and they start mentioning, oh, we thank God for this person. Okay. So, it's really an honor to be here today. And I want to thank God for this opportunity. And I want to thank our father, Uncle Bijou. Come on, put your hands together for Uncle Bijou. Put hands together for Uncle Bijou. It's not everyone that Uncle Bijou trusts with this platform. So if you are invited to come in, be on this platform. It shows a certain level of trust that at least when you come, you don't lie to the people. So I'm really thankful for this opportunity, and I'm honored by it. I want to thank God for all the facilitators in the house, especially Uncle Nicholas, who has really been a very, very important part of my life. I want to thank God for Uncle Nana Osu of blessed memory, who also helped me a lot. I thank God for Uncle Bethmond, who is currently in Canada, who helped me learn how to study the Bible. Yes, I thank God for everyone here.
And I thank God that you are here today, that you didn't decide to go and play football or watch some telenovela, but you are here. I thank God that you are here. Amen. Amen. So today, I'll be speaking briefly on evangelism. And for the past 2-3 weeks, we've been talking about evangelism. And I'm sure you are like, we've said a lot about evangelism. Everybody has come to say something about evangelism. You want something different. But you see, when you keep hearing the same thing over and over again, it helps you. In Philippians chapter 3, the verse 1, Paul was writing to the church and he said that, for me to repeat these things to you, it's not grievous. Right? I'm not wary in repeating these things to you. But I said, for you it is safe. What the apostle Paul was telling the church was that when I keep repeating these things to you, it is for you to be safe. Repetition is not a bad thing. It's not a bad thing for somebody to come and say the same thing that has been said. The Bible calls it safe. That you are safe. You are kept safe by it. So don't be offended if I'm here to talk about the same thing you've been hearing for 2-3 weeks. Okay? Amen. Amen. So I'll be talking about evangelism. And we've been encouraging ourselves to go out and preach the gospel. To go out and win souls. And I did a bit of thinking and I realized that for most of us, the reason why we don't feel the need to go out and win souls is because we don't see it as our job. True or false? Oh, mind me. True or false? Why are you smiling? True or false? True or false? True. You don't see it as your job. Okay, so I have one small assignment. It's part of the preaching. But I'll help you see today that it is your job. Amen. Amen. Or you don't want to see that it is your job. You don't want to see that it's your job. Jesus Christ told a story or a parable. I remember one time in teaching chapel, we had a discussion on this, whether it was a parable or a story. Yeah, but Jesus Christ said something. Right? In Luke chapter 16, the verse 19, it would be nice if we can have it projected. And Jesus Christ was talking about a man, a rich man. He's talking about two people, two characters. So a rich man and then a poor beggar called Lazarus. Okay. And the Bible says that there was a certain rich man who was clothed in purple and fine linen and fed sumptuously every day. Next verse. But there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, full of sores, who was laid at his gate, desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. So it was that the beggar died, right, and was carried by the angels to Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. Let's stay here a bit. Let's stay here a bit. So the beggar died and was carried by the angels to Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. It's very interesting because you see, there is one thing that doesn't respect human beings. Doesn't care whether you are rich, whether you are poor, whether you get 9-1s in your BEC, whether you get 8-8s in your WASI, whether you get first class, whether you get a good job, whether you get a good beloved. For those of you that want to become like me, you can come and see me after church. Right? I'm a burnt offering. Do you know what that means? If you want to know, come and see me after church. I will explain to you and I will disciple you in a way. Yes. But I was considering speaking to Uncle Bishop that at camp next year, you know, when we are doing the boys, we need to have one class called the burnt offering class that I'll handle those people. Yes. It's very, very, very powerful. Very powerful. But it's not all about getting all these things, right? Because there is one thing that will come to everyone. That is death. Whether you are rich, you are poor, you get first class, you get 8 A's, 9-1s, whatever. You get a husband, you get a wife, you are burning like me, or whatever. Death will come for you. And the Bible says, the book of Hebrews, that it is appointed unto man once to die, and then after death, judgment. You know what that means? It's appointed. You know appointment? When you go and make an appointment with someone, it's appointed unto you to die one day. Say amen. Oh, it's appointed. I'm not the one saying it. It's the Bible. I'm the one saying it. But it's appointed unto everyone here to die once, and then after death, judgment. It's an appointment. You can't run away from it. unless Jesus Christ comes before, but even that one cry, you still die. So, right. So it's appointed unto man once to die, and after death judgment, everyone will die. And so the Bible says that both the rich man and Lazarus died. And the rich man was buried. Next verse. And being in torment in Hades, he lifted up his eyes and saw Abraham. This is very interesting. This is Jesus speaking, okay? And Jesus makes it known that it is possible for someone to be in torment after death. You see, we are reading the words of Jesus. Some of you are doing it. Raise your hand. Yesterday, Auntie Ella was so frustrated. I'll come to you later. It's part of my message, bro. I'm coming to you. But how are you doing it? How are you doing it? Let me see your hands. Raise it high, raise it high, raise it high. Hey! Let me stay here for a while. Being in torment in Hades. So, Jesus Christ is saying that it's possible for you to be in torment after death. It's possible. Not death is not freedom. Oh, I'm free. It's possible that some people will die and they'll be in torment. And he said that a rich man lifted up his eyes and saw Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. Next verse. Then he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I'm tormented in this flame. This is very serious. Because if I am thirsty, I will not ask for a drop of water. I will probably ask for a big gallon or buy me a drink, fruit juice or bell cola or something. But he asked for a drop. It shows you how intense the torment was. Next verse. But Abraham said, Son, remember that in your lifetime you received your good things and likewise Lazarus' evil things. But now he is comforted and you are tormented. Next verse. And besides all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed. It just means there's a great space. Okay. So that those who want to pass from here to you cannot, nor can those from there pass to us. Then he said, this is a rich man, I beg you therefore, Father, that you would send him to my father's house. Next verse. For I have 5 brothers, that he may testify to them, lest they also come to this place of torment. Let's hold here. This is a rich man suffering, and he wanted a drop of water. When he realized that he couldn't be helped, his attention shifted to his brothers who were alive. And he knew that if they died, they also come and join him. You see, how many of you have been in class and then they give you assignment, they give you homework, you've not done it? And then you come in the morning, and then you see all your classmates, they are sitting down. Have you done the work? No. Have you done the work? No. Then you're happy. Do you know why you're happy? Because you're happy. squad. You know why you're happy? Because naturally, we like to be, if I'm suffering, I want to suffer with someone. You get it. Why do you think poor people work together? If I'm broke, me and you, we are broke. If I'm struggling, I want to struggle with you. I want to struggle with someone. But this man was suffering, and he didn't want anybody to come and join him. And mind you, this is someone who had a beggar at his gates and was ignoring the beggar. So it's not as if he's a kind person by inference. It's not as if he's someone who naturally just helps people. But in torment, he was thinking about others. It shows you how serious it is. Next verse. Abraham said to him, They have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. Very, very interesting. Do you know what Father Abraham was simply saying to all of us here? That the people that are on earth right now, like the 5 brothers, who have not heard the gospel, who have not heard Jesus, who are also on their way to this torment, that they have people on the earth. Let's read the next verse. And he said, No, Father Abraham, but if one goes to them from the dead, they will repent. Next verse. But he said to him, If they do not hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded though one rise from the dead. Father Abraham is simply telling this man that, see, no one is coming from the dead to come and preach to your brothers. No one is going to rise up to come and appear to your brothers to convince them not to come to this place. Why? Because there are people on the earth. There are structures on the earth. There is a system on the earth where they are that can convince them. What he was saying is that there is you and I. We are on the earth. People like the five brothers who are on their way to torment, they don't need someone to rise from the dead to go and preach to them. You and I are here, and we are with them. They are in your classrooms. They are in your area. They are everywhere. And you are with them. It is your job to preach the gospel. It is your job. There's a certain scripture that scares me. It says that for hell has enlarged her mouth. I think it's in Isaiah. For hell has enlarged her mouth. That scripture, do you know the seriousness of that scripture? It means that hell is undergoing expansion project. Do you know expansion project? You know expansion project. If we say we want to expand Calvary Temple, add more land, create another, hell is doing expansion project. Why? Because they've seen that more people are coming. So let's create more space. Pray that you are not one of the more people that they are. That's why they are creating more space. Anyway. What Abraham is saying is that you and I are on the earth. And we are to convince people not to go to this torment. Are you with me? Please, are you with me? I've not started anything. If you are quiet now, dear, then in 10 minutes... Right. So it's our job to preach the gospel. It's our job to preach the gospel. We are not just called to be in church the way you are here, nice, in AC. The AC crowd, I can't feel it. I'm sweating, but we are managing. God's grace is abundant. Yes. But we are not just called to be here and then we come. You're with your friends and you're having fun. That's not why God saved you. Okay. It's cool. It's nice. But you are saved for a purpose. And you can't ignore this purpose. On Sunday, I was speaking to the SHS Leadership School. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 4. Verse 4. Ephesians 4 verse 4. From the verse 4. And I was explaining that we have been given an assignment that everything that happens in church, everything that happens here, everybody that comes to stand here and preach, everybody that comes to stand here and sing, everybody that comes to stand here and leads prayer, everybody that comes to stand here and dances or ministers to you in any way, that person is helping you do something. And we look at that. So from the verse 4, there is one body and one spirit. Just as you were called in one hope of your calling. Next verse. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. One God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. Next verse. But to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, he says, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. Now this he ascended, what does it mean but that he also first descended into the lower part of the earth? He who descended is also the one who ascended far above all the heavens, that he might fill all things. And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. So this is what is referred to as the fivefold ministry. And the Bible is saying that Jesus gave gifts to men, right? And he begins to list the offices that represent these gifts. And he says that he gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. So this is what you might normally call as ministry. Like this is ministry. So if I ask someone right now, who wants to go into ministry? Let me try it. I've come here too much. People here. If I've seen your face and I've been seeing your face for the past couple of weeks a lot, you'll be my victim. Okay, so do you want to go into ministry? Do you want to do ministry? Okay, that's a fine answer. Say Ram, do you want to do ministry?
Yes.
There are certain people I'm looking for, and I'll train them as burnt offerings. Say Ram is one of them.
Yeah.
Train them. So we'll take over Teen Chapel. Yeah. Small. I'm doing some small underground. You people, you don't know. Give it a few months, few years. You see. We'll take over Teen Chapel. I'll go with you. Yeah. And he gave some to be apostles. Oh, give me New King James. King James there. Why? Please. And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. So God gave these ministries or these offices or these gifts to us, right? But they are not just there to make us feel good. Apostles are not there to make us feel good. Prophets are not there to come and say, your number is zero, this. Oh, I've entered your house. Then I'll look at your face and say, I'm in your bedroom. There is something on your bed. It's a green cloth. Under the green cloth, there is something. That is not the purpose of the gifts. It's good. It all fits into the big picture. But you cannot replace the big picture with this. So, the work of an evangelist, a pastor, a teacher, right? These ministries or these gifts are all to help us. They are for a purpose. So, when you see someone stand here and teach, someone stands here and it's a prophet and it's ministering, it's not to make you feel excited. There was something Akobiji said, I think 3 weeks ago, that the anointing is not just to make you happy in church. That's not the main purpose. There is a purpose for these things. The next verse. This is the purpose. For the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry. So the Bible is saying that these gifts, apostles, prophets, teachers, pastors, evangelists, to equip us for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. So the Bible is saying that these gifts are supposed to equip us, endow us, help us, right, to do the work of ministry. Meaning that it is expected of every saint, of every Christian, everybody in the body of Christ, to do a certain work called the work of ministry. The reason why prophets come, teachers come, apostles come, is to help you do this work. The work of ministry. It is not for you to enjoy presence and go and sit in the house and then, oh, I'll come to church on Sunday. You are being equipped. Sunday by Sunday, every time somebody comes to do something here, you are being equipped to do the work of ministry. Are you with me? So there's a work you must do. Let's establish that point. I want you to see that there is work you must do. It's not sitting in church. The evangelism, you don't see it as your job. It is your job. We'll get there. It is your job. You must go out. You must preach the gospel. You must do the work of ministry. You must witness. You don't need to ask plenty questions. Just go out. So this is the purpose. To equip us for the work of ministry. Now, what is this work of the ministry? Can someone guess? SHS Leadership School. Should I come to you? Who said yes? Seram. Oh, Seram. Yeah, Seram. Yeah, so what is the work of the ministry in this?
It's going out and winning souls for Christ.
Okay. I need to find someone else to worry apart from Sarah. The way he was looking at me when I was coming, nah, my heart. But you there, don't worry, it's normal. So when I was in Teen Chapel, I was young. I remember, they used to worry me. So I was quiet. I didn't like trouble. Come and sit in front, quiet, go. Just because I'm standing here doesn't mean that I'm like that, though. I'm very quiet. Oh, you don't believe me? You don't believe me? Oh. It's unfortunate. But I'm very quiet. Anyway, let's go to 2 Corinthians 5, verse 11. 2 Corinthians 5:11. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. But we are well known to God. And I also trust are well known in your consciences. Next verse. For we do not commend ourselves again to you, but give you opportunity to boast on our behalf, that you may have an answer for those who boast in appearance and not in heart. Next verse. For if we are beside ourselves, it is for God. Or if we are of sound mind, it is for you. Next verse. For the love of Christ compels us, because we judge thus, that if one died for all, then all died. And he died for all, that those who live should live no longer for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again. Next verse. Therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Next verse. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. Let's pause there. So the Bible is saying that God has reconciled us back to himself. And he has given us the ministry of reconciliation. This is the work of every Christian. Once you have been reconciled to God, you are expected to carry out a certain task called the ministry of reconciliation. It is now your job, as you have been brought in, to also go and bring others in. It is not a matter of whether I am called to go and bring people, I'm called to go and preach. It's not a matter of that. Once you have been reconciled to God, you have been given this ministry. Do you know the dangerous thing about this? Because the Bible is saying that you have been given the ministry. The Bible didn't say you went to take it. You have been given the ministry. God gave you the ministry. And you see, everything that God gives you, when you die and he's judging you, when you die and you go and meet God, he will ask you questions. We know the parable of the talents. How many of us know the parable of the talents? There was a master who was traveling, right, and he gave three of his servants talent. He gave one 5, one 2, one. And the one with 5 went to work, got extra 5. The one with 2 went to work, got extra 2. And the one with 1 went to hide it in the ground. And when the master came back, he gave a very nice excuse. I know that you're a hard man. You reap where you have not sown. So I went to hide your talent. So here it is. Take it. At least I didn't misplace it. You see, he's good though. He didn't misplace it. Some of you would have put it somewhere. But he didn't misplace it. Okay. He presented it back to the master. And this is what you gave me. But the master had a problem. You see, because God does not expect to come and meet the same thing he gave you. If he gives you something, when he comes back, he wants to see increase. That was the master's problem with the servant. I gave you one talent. You've done well by preserving it and bringing it back to me. But that is not what I want. Why couldn't you invest it with the bankers so that I'll gain some small interest? Because God always wants to see increase from what he has given you. So if the Bible says he has given us the ministry of reconciliation, when he comes back, he will ask questions. And he does not expect you to look at him with the same thing that he gave you. He wants to see the fruit. He wants to see the increase. And like I said, everyone will die. See, get it into your head. You will die one day. You don't like hearing it, but you die. Me too, I'll die. We'll die. You will die one day. And when you do, because you have been given this ministry, when the master comes to you, will he say that thou good and faithful servant? Or will he tell you that you have been unfaithful and you are wicked? Do you know what happened to that servant? he was cast into darkness where there was gnashing of teeth. That's what happens to someone who God has given something and the person doesn't work with it. And that's what happened to you if you don't work with this ministry that God has given you. Are you here? Hey, are you here? I've not started. Are you here? Hey, 8:31. I said, oh, okay. So let's move on. God expects something from you. Next verse. That is that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. So God was in Jesus Christ and he was reconciling everything back to himself. God was reconciling the entire world back to himself. He was reconciling you and I back to himself. And after we have been reconciled, he expects us to do the work of reconciliation. Amen. Amen. I want you to accept that this is your job. It's not a job of a pastor or a prayer warrior or Uncle Ivan or Auntie Esther or Uncle Biju. It is your job. Unless you want to say that you've not been reconciled to God. But once you've been reconciled to him, it is your job. Right? You have been given the work of reconciliation. Amen. Amen. So, how did all of this happen? We know the story of the four ABC glasses. So, Adam and Eve ate the fruit, which wasn't apple. Please, it's not apple. It's not in the Bible that Adam and Eve ate apple. For all you know, it's not the other one. It wasn't apple, please. I'm not going to say it anywhere. Right. But it ate the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And from there, we see that man fell. And from that point on, throughout the Bible, we see God trying to reconcile man back to himself. The whole Bible is just a story of God trying to get man's attention, trying to get man back to himself. Right? After man fell, God has been trying to get man back to himself. He started with a man called Abraham. Okay. And then the Jews came. We read about the story of Israel, how God will save them. They'll go and serve idols. God will shout plenty. They'll come back. Then they'll go and serve idols again. The nation of Israel, they were very stubborn. They are like you people. You don't see it though, but it's the truth. Because the nation of Israel, after God had brought them out, listen, I'll never understand. See, if I am traveling, and then they take me to a sea, and then this sea divides, one like this, and I'm walking in the middle, and I'm seeing the sea. Do you know how deep the sea is? Not river. I'm not talking about your village river or some lagoon be somewhere or that big gutter that is around. A sea. It divided. Like this. You're walking in the middle. You're seeing the water. There maybe some fishes inside or something. And you walk through. Do you know how long it took them to walk to the other end? It's not a river that you cross in 5 minutes. All the while they were walking, it was parted. They saw great signs, a pillar of cloud and fire. If I'm standing here and fire appears here, it's like this. How many of you will still be sitting down? You see, they saw all these signs. They saw all these things. But still, they went to mold a golden calf. Hey, I don't understand. But you see, we are like that. And we all do it. The first time I read and I was laughing at them, these people, they're not serious. But I began to think about my life. And I was saying, yeah, between there. And it's very easy to forget God. It's very easy to put God aside. You see, in those days, they were serving maybe a calf or they mowed something. But because you and I, we don't have a calf in our house, we think that we are okay. But you've forgotten that your phone can be an idol. You have forgotten that television can be an idol. Forgotten that that boy or that girl that you've been going to meet, the corner. Yes. You thought I won't go there today? OT, you are looking at me? That boy, that girl. Hey! Then you have set alarm that, okay, at 12 minutes, I'm going to pray. Then it is 11:59. Then she calls. Then you're like, Charlie, pick the call. And the nation of Israel, God was using them to start the reconciliation process. But they were very stubborn. They were very, very stubborn. And you see, all God wants to do is to restore us back to himself. He wants to reconcile us back to himself, right? But that's not all. He wants to reconcile us back to our original purpose. Why was man? Man was created in the image of you. He can at least see himself. Written a blog, a very nice series on the images. Because we were no longer reflecting God the way we were supposed to. And God wants to restore us back to that purpose. You see, everything that God created, God didn't just sit down and say, okay, let me make the tree or let me make this. God came from what was invisible. Are clearly seen, being understood by the things that Hebrews 11:3. By faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. So the Bible is saying that the things that we see, right, they weren't made of things that were also seen. Basically, everything that Colossians 1, or dominions or principalities or powers. And when he was creating the earth, not only was his relationship with God fractured, but the relationship between the earth and heaven was also fractured. What God wants to do is to restore everything. When God created the trees, right, they were a reflection of something in his realm. It wasn't just a mistake. He didn't just in heaven or in his realm. Those things are reflections. You get it? When man fell, to restore us back to that purpose. Are we together? So we are to be reconciled back to the purpose. Back to our original purpose. Now, there are three ways. Katalasu. Right. It's not about, when talking about, they call it, okay, in my day, so in our day, it's called something Aka, right? And when you have a problem, well, if I have a problem with this girl, I don't talk to her. So when I'm coming to school and I see her face, just walk by. Like she doesn't exist. I'll just walk by. I don't know her. And it was nice. That thing we have been doing is fine. We are looking at me. You have certain people in your school. You don't, right? That is called reconciliation. And I'm taking my time because I want you to understand that it is your job. I was thinking this morning, I was like, after what happened yesterday, I was so sad. So I was wondering, do these people understand that it is their job? Because it's like, you have no concern for these things. It's not your problem. I want you to see that it is your problem. It is your job. Because it's like, you don't care. And that's the truth. You don't care. You don't care. But you need to care. You need to care. It is our job to go out and preach the gospel. It is our job to be witnesses. In Acts chapter 1 verse 8, let's see that scripture. Acts 1 verse 8. It's one of my favorite scriptures. Acts 1 verse 8. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. So the Bible is saying, this is Jesus, when he was speaking to the disciples before he ascended. And they were worried about the kingdom of Israel, when it would be restored. And Jesus was telling them that they shouldn't bother themselves with the times and the seasons that God has already planned, but that they should tarry and that they shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon them. But that power is not just to make them feel happy, like what Uncle Biju was telling us a few weeks ago. It's not just for you to come and enjoy and for you to fall down, then you're shouting, then that's not all, right? The Holy Spirit comes upon you, and when that power comes upon you, right, you become something. You become someone. Right? You become a witness. The reason why the Holy Spirit comes upon you, why the power comes upon you, is to make you a witness. What does a witness do? If you go to court and there is a case, if I go and steal someone's goods, right? I remember one time in SHS, some of the students went to steal the headmaster's goods, and they went to prepare soup with it, and they gave him some. He ate it. It was like, my students are good. They bought goat for me, killed the goat for me, prepared soup for me. He says, go to finish enjoying it. Then where's his goat? He can't find it. Some of you, when you go to SHS, you do that. Be careful. Right. But if I go and steal someone's goat, and they take me to court, and I deny, there was no proof, there was no evidence. You've told me I've stolen your goat. Where's your evidence? One thing that can help you is a witness. Who saw me stealing the goods? So you go and carry someone. Maybe you carry Hannah. You say that Hannah saw Michael stealing the goods. And Hannah will come as a witness and come and give a testimony that, oh yes, I saw Michael stealing the goods. He went to steal the goods. He stole the goods. Stole the goods, took it, like he carried it on his shoulder. He was walking, was running. Yes. Like the way some of you, let me keep quiet. But you know yourselves. So she comes to testify as a witness. And once they have the word of a witness, I mean, I'm closer to my sentence. Get it? In the same way, we are called to be witnesses for God. What that means is that this world we are in is like a courtroom. Right? There are people bringing so many claims. Right? The job of a witness is simple. To present evidence. Right? That validates a claim. So there are so many claims that we Christians make. God is love. God is loving. God is kind. God is all powerful. Right? God is merciful. God is just. We are saying so many things about God. But you see, the world is questioning these things. Right? And it's your job as a witness to present evidence that validates that claim. So when we are saying that God is love, can we look at your life as a witness and say that we have evidence that God is love? When we say that God is kind, can we look at your life and say that we have evidence to prove that God is kind? Because we are supposed to be his witnesses. And that's the job of a witness. Are we together? Are we together? It is your job to convince people of the reality of God. It's your job to communicate the gospel to people, to preach the gospel to people. That is why you receive the Holy Spirit. That is why we're reconciled back to him. It is your job. You need to understand it. And you need to accept it. That this one is my job. Because it is. It is your job. You are expected to go out and preach. In Mark 16 verse 15. Right, Jesus told the disciples to go out and preach the gospel. He said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And this was one of Jesus' last statements before he ascended. You know, when your father is leaving the house and then he says that, okay, sweep the room or sweep the house or something, or wash my car. Or he sends you that, go and buy me plantain chips or something, I'm coming. So he's stepping out. He says, go and buy me something, or go and do this for me, or sweep the house, or do something. And he goes. That's his last instruction to you. When he goes, when he comes back, that's probably the first thing you ask for. Have you done this? Did you sweep? Did you go and buy the chips? Did you do this? Right. Because the last instruction of any man is very important. And this was one of Jesus' last statements to the disciples. And so when he comes back, it's one of the first things you ask about. You see, you need to look at your life and see that if you die right now, right, or if Jesus Christ comes right now, can you answer him? Can you answer him? You need to be honest with yourself. Because you treat this like it's not your job, like it's not your, it's not your concern. But you need to do it. It is your job. It is your job. Evangelism is a must for every Christian. Witnessing is a must for every Christian. You have to go out. But you have to do it. I told you that I'm shy. I'm an introvert. Evangelism is not my natural specialty. But I have to do it. Remember when I got born again, fresh, and I was in church, I had people like Kerobin, like Alex, who come for Tuesday evangelism, Auntie Bridget. And sometimes we go out. I remember the first time I went for them, I was paired with Alex. I was happy because Alex, you talk, and I'll just be behind him. So I'll hide behind him, then we'll go. Then you talk to the people. I'm happy, I'm just hiding behind you. I said, I'm supporting with prayers. Supporting with prayers. And we'll go and we'll come back. I remember the following week, I was paired with Auntie Bridget. It's like, what? She there, she won't cover you. She exposed me. I remember the first person I spoke to. Hey, wasn't easy. Like, buying plenty. Embarrassed myself. Simple words I couldn't pronounce. Shy. But I did it. And the following week, I came again. And we continued. And you see, it was such a scary experience, but there was joy in it. When you speak to an older person, I was very small, 14, 13, speak to an older person, the person is like, wow, you small boy, you're speaking to me about. And sometimes you can see that they are smiling, they are appreciating what you are seeing. And there was such a joy. That I'm sharing something with someone. I'm sharing Jesus with someone. But you people, I don't know. There was one time I was going to buy something from one of these marts, the filling stations, the mart. And I entered, and I saw this lady. I went to buy biscuits. And she was sitting, and she had a very sad face. I was like, let me talk to her about Jesus. I spoke to her. So I want to take just 5 minutes of your time. I want to tell you about Jesus. I spoke to her. By the time we finished, she was smiling. I was happy. At least, I've brightened someone's day. I prayed for her. I left. It's important. Just this week, I was coming to church one day, and I met these Star Assurance people. They are at opposite expo, and they caught me. They said, come and open this, your investments. Come and open it. I was in a hurry. I said, okay, you know what? So I'll give you 5 minutes of my time. You two give me 5 minutes of your time. It's an exchange. So you will tell me about your investments and everything. Me too, I'll tell you about Jesus. And the guy agreed. So I said, okay. So he did everything. Made me write my name, write my... I've still not given them my account number. But don't worry, it's not... I told them I'll give them my time, not my account number. So I gave them my time. He was convinced me, oh, write your name here, sign here. Okay, once you have my account number, you can't do anything. So I signed. Nice, nice, nice. After he finished everything, I said, okay, 5 minutes is up. Now it's my turn. And I preached to him just this week. I preached to him. I said, finish. Very nice. When I felt I preached, yeah, preach for... I said, I want to pray with you. He said, okay, I prayed with him. And he said, amen. He said, nice. He took my number. I said, okay, we'll talk. He sent me a message yesterday asking for my account number. I've still not sent it. I won't send it, mom. But you see, I'm just telling you this. Every opportunity you get, share something with someone. It's important. It's important. You're in school. Your classmates are not born again. And you are sitting down concerned. When I was in SHS, I was so uncomfortable in first year. Because there was one guy in front of me. He wasn't born again. His name was Enoch. I remember in Pan. He was sitting in front. He wasn't born again. During class, they go and bring some girl B from the general's block. Then they are doing this in the class. I'm sitting out. I'm behind him. Then I'm worried. This guy cry. Hey, if you die. And I was really disturbed. One prep, I caught him and I said, Charlie, I want to share something with you. It was a pastor's son too. I caught him. I said, hey, you, it's okay. I caught him and I spoke to him. I told him that, see, Jesus loves you. Preach a nice message to me. But back then, I didn't know plenty things. But at least, I shared a little that I had with him. And he was convicted. He said, you think about it. he didn't say, okay, you pray, but he said, you think about it, and I'm fine. Oh, by the way, if you want a title for today's message, sorry for that, but if you want a title, I was struggling with the title, okay. But I guess you can title it the Ministry of Reconciliation. If you want to give a title to it, anyway. If you want to give a title, you can say the Ministry of Reconciliation. Maybe hashtag, it's my job, or something. Yeah, no, because it's your job, it's your job. It's your job. So I spoke to him, said, you think about it. And every day I was checking up on him. And he gave his life to Christ. He's a keyboardist now in his father's church. We have classmates. They are sitting here and there. You know that they are on their way to hell. You see, sometimes the reason why you are not confident to go and preach is because you now your life, they'll struggle. Because a witness must be there. Right? If something happens, a witness must see it to be able to give testimony. You now, you've not been with Jesus, so you don't know what to go and see. This Bible reading we've been saying, read your Bible. The words of Jesus, only few of you are doing it. I said, I'll not go there. But it's your job. It is your job, and you need to understand that. When you see someone, you can step outside and you are seeing plenty of people, and you don't care. Nothing is worrying your heart that some of these people are going to hell. See, it shows that you have a problem. If no one has told you, I'm telling you. If you are seeing people on their way to hell, on their way to darkness, these people don't have Jesus, and you are comfortable, you have a serious problem. You are in this place. You go to school tomorrow, and you run with people who are doing so many things. And you know that if today a car hits them and they die, you know where they are going to. And you are unconcerned. You have a serious problem. It's a serious problem. Because souls are dying. People are perishing. And you are unconcerned. You don't think there was anything wrong with you. There is something wrong with you. Because you have to question whether you are truly saved. If you get something good, you want to share to the whole world. You want to share it with your friends. If something good happens to you, you want to share it with people. But you cannot catch one of your classmates, one of your friends, and sit them down and say, "Let's see, you are my friend. I care for you. The life you are living right now, you are on your way to hell." And you cannot simply speak to them and tell them that, "Hey, see, you need to repent. You need to give your life to Christ. You need to be born again." You can't do that. Back in JHS, when I got born again fresh, I was so all over the place. In my JHS school, I was a very bad boy. Yeah, I was a bad boy. Yeah. Yeah. I was a bad boy. Yeah. Those, the people that were in my school, they maybe understand. Yeah. I was a bad boy. Yes. Doing weird things. Doing a lot of things. I'll not tell you the things. Yeah, and I'm a bent orphan. Give glory to God. Clap your hands. Yeah. Yeah. You don't know. You don't know. Yeah. So, now I'm preaching to you. I never saw myself. It's okay. The story is plenty. But I got born again. And I was so excited. I began to catch people in the school. Sometimes I'll catch them. There was a certain mango tree at the back. I'll take them there, then I'll speak to them. I'll talk to them. Oh, do you accept Jesus Christ? They say yes. I'll pray with them. I mean, after that, now I want to pray for you so that I receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So I speak in tongues. Pray for them. They start speaking. It's like, bing. Then I'm happy. It got certain time. I had a family of people. There was one guy in the school. He used to tease me. Every time he sees me working with those people, he'll be like, Michael and his fellowship of true believers. Every time he sees Michael and his fellowship of true believers. Yeah. People pray for you. Some people reject me, like somebody who said rejected me, but he's here. I don't mention his name, but we thank God. He's here. Eventually, he came. But you see, some people said no, some people rejected me, but well, I said, yeah, I was excited. In SHS, we used to go class by class. and share the word. And sometimes you see people, they've never heard Jesus being communicated like that before. They go to church, but nobody has made them think about their eternal security. And we talk to them about these things. And sometimes you can see people's faces. They want to cry. Right? And they can tell that they need Jesus. Sometimes when you pray for them and then they are just so happy that they've now received eternal life. If they are happy that they've received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, you can just see the joy. And it's so heartwarming. You'll never experience that if you don't go out and preach. It's not to sit down here in the church and for me to be talking plenty. And for someone to come and stand there and be talking plenty. When will you go out? What God has given you, when will you go out and use it? When? When will you go out and use it? When will you go out and preach? When? You don't have to wait for us to organize evangelism Christmas in a box. Then evangelism, you say, okay, that one crowd, only 10 people come. Then we say we are doing jollof party, kinky party, a place we filled. Some of you have already planned, you are going for parties here. You call for evangelism, house party, you've planned. But you come for evangelism, you come. Because your heart isn't there. And you don't know that there was something wrong with you. I want you to examine yourself. As a Christian, it's important that you have this desire to see other people saved. Because it is impossible for you to have spent time with God and not yearn for the things He yearns for. It means that there was something wrong with you. Remember, I told you that God has given you something. And everything that God gives you, He will ask you, what did you use with it? What did you use it for? Where is the increase? And when you die, which you will, He will ask you questions. You think your life is all about having fun? Oh, me, I'm very beautiful. So all I need to do is I'll just live my life. Yay! Or me, I'm a very guy. Then you come, then you're walking. That is, you will die one day. And it's not prophecy. It's a fact. It's a fact. There was someone that died in my class in university just a few months ago. Went to play football and he died. That he said was aching, he drank para, he went to sleep. And he didn't wake up again. I was so disturbed. Because I didn't preach to him. And he died. And people are dying every day. You need to have this burden. You cannot be a Christian and then you don't have an interest in sharing the gospel with people. You have an interest in preaching the gospel. There is something wrong. I keep saying there is something wrong with you. You need to accept it. Because some of you are rejecting it. You are just nonchalant. You don't care. Oh, me, I'm just there. Everything I've said, you've put a wall like, I don't care. But one day you will die. That one day, let it enter your heart. You will die one day. You need to accept that fact. And you see, God will ask you. God will ask you. Let's be on our feet. We pray in a bit. We'll be praying a bit, but I want you to think about this. There is a burden that God has. And God wants to see people saved. The Bible says it is God's desire that all men will be saved and come to the knowledge of Him. This is God's desire. And as Christians, it's supposed to be your desire too. I know many of you don't have the desire. But we're going to pray today. I want you to examine your life. Look at yourself well. Know that one day, this thing that God has given you, this ministry, He will ask you what you did with it. Just know that. And we're going to pray. First of all, we are praying to God that God will grant us a burden for souls, a burden to witness to people, a burden to preach the gospel. Because you need to have that burden. You need to have it. It's important. I want to just lift up your voice and pray. Ask God to give you this burden, to grant you this burden, that God should give you a heart for souls. You know you don't have that heart. You don't have that desire to see people saved. It's not your problem. You don't care. But you want to talk to God this morning. You want to lift up your voice and tell God, God, grant me this burden. You want to lift up your voice and talk to God. Lift up your voice and talk to God. I want to hear you praying. I want to hear you praying. Lift up your voice. Lift up your voice. I want to hear you praying. Lift up your voice. Don't be silent. Don't be silent. Don't murmur. Lift up your voice and talk to God. You don't have this desire. It's a problem. You have a problem as a Christian. If this desire is not in you, if you don't have this burden, it's a problem. You want to lift up your voice and ask God, God, give me this burden. God, give me this burden. Lift up your voice. Are you praying? Are you praying? Is somebody praying? Lift up your voice. Lift up your voice. Lord, give me this burden. Lord, give me this burden. Is somebody praying? Is somebody praying? Somebody pray. Somebody pray. Ask God for this burden, for this desire to see souls saved. The heart of a witness, that your desire will be for people to come to the knowledge of Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus, lift up your voice. Lift up your voice.